Well, I try not to let a year go by without speaking about the Lord's return, and I found I hadn't done so yet this year. So I titled this message, Where Are We? And what I want to focus on is this, where are we in time? Where are we with regard to truth? And where are we with regard to the spiritual realm? I want to seek to show us briefly where we are today, and in another message, where we are with regard to the Lord's coming, his coming for the church, and how we should live in light of where we are. In the last year, we have seen changes in 1 year that surpass all we have seen in our time, and it may be that we have come to a turn in the road in history. Maybe it came a little sooner already. So many things go by us, we hardly notice what is happening many times. I tried to get a handle on a few things, but there is so much conflicting information, one hardly knows what to believe. I had an email that questioned whether the things claimed of Ravi Zacharias are true. His wife and son believe it is not true. When I first heard about Ravi's apparent fall, I didn't give any credibility to it. Later, when I read a thorough report and a letter of repentance by the ministry leaders, I thought it must be true. I was greatly shocked to think that it could be true. I do hope it's not true, but I see how careful one must be in accepting things as true. We find ourselves in a time when we hardly know what to believe. Paul said that in the last days, perilous, violent times would come. And from all appearance, the world is now being conditioned to let government run their lives. In Canada and the United States, at this point, we have government heads who seem to have little or any godliness left in their worldviews. They have also surrounded themselves and put in position of authority the same kind of people. I want to speak briefly about three areas where we are with regard to time, where in that which has passed, which is present, and which is to come, where are we? Where are we regarding truth? Where are we regarding Satan and demonism? Where are we with relation to God's program and what lies before us? And I'm simply giving us a reminder. Well, we are, with regard to time, where are we? We have come past 6,000 years of history, according to the scriptures. Mankind has spread out across the globe. We have come past the Old Testament time, and we are in the time we know as the Church Age. And in the Church Age, as I view Revelation chapter 2 and 3, we are in the time of the Church of Laodicea. And it is the picture of a church that is in a lukewarm state, and the Lord is standing outside seeking entrance. In the church in general, there is very little understanding of biblical prophecy. There are very few in the professing church of today who see where we are because prophecy has been neglected. Turn to Matthew 24 once more. It was read for us before, the first verses. We want to see where we are. Just before Jesus was crucified, Jesus gave one of the most amazing prophecy passages of the New Testament, and we begin again in verse 1. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. Now, if these buildings were standing today, they would without doubt be one of the seven wonders of the world. Herod was a master builder. And he had beautified the temple, and it was magnificent. So the disciples went to point out these buildings to Jesus. Verse 2, and Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. So Jesus had told them what would happen. These buildings would be taken apart stone by stone, and they were. This happened about 40 years later. From here, Jesus now goes up the Mount of Olives, and as they went, Jesus told them many things that would happen. We learn this from verse 25, where, as I understand the verse, Jesus is saying, "I told you all this earlier." Now, I don't want to take time to explain that. So as they were walking, he has told them many things that would happen. So we go to verse 3. "Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be? What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?'" The disciples asked Jesus three questions. When will these things be? 2, what will be the sign of your coming? And 3, what will be the sign of the end of the age? Verse 4, "And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places.'" Now, as I understand this chapter, these are the things that happen before the tribulation. Verse 8 says that all these things are the beginnings of sorrows. The idea is that of birth pangs. We are in those times right now, and we are finding them a bit painful already. As I see it, verse 9 is the beginning of the tribulation. That is what lies just before us now. Verse 15, and I'm not taking time for all of these, but verse 15 brings us to the middle of the tribulation. What is happening right now, as it seems to me, we are being conditioned for a one-world government. When verse 9 takes place, there will be a one-world government. By the time it reaches verse 15, this world dictator will set himself up as God, not just world ruler. He is God. And it is then that the number 666 comes into being. Verse 29 brings us to the close of the tribulation. It says, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." In my understanding, Jesus has told them when all these things would come to pass. Question number 1. They are given in the order in which they will occur. The second question was, what will be the sign of your coming? I understand that to refer to the first phase of his coming, which is the rapture. So Jesus said, when you see all these things, know that it is that is his coming is near at the doors. Now, when you see all these things, his coming is not near, it is here. But the words "when you see," the verb "to see" is an aorist. I believe it means when you see all these things begin to happen, then you know. So turn to Luke 21 to give some evidence for that. We'll begin in verse 21. Just to show you that his coming is near when these things begin to happen. Verse 27. 21:27. "Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look up, lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near." So in Matthew 24, 4 through 8, when do these things begin to happen? Verse 4, Jesus said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and will deceive many." And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginnings of sorrows. In my understanding, this is where we are. We have been here now for some years, and we stand now at the very threshold of the catching up of the church. We'll talk about that in the next message. I fully believe the Lord will catch up his church before the tribulation begins. And in Matthew 24, the tribulation begins in verse 9. Not only are we in verses 4 through 8, I believe we are in the very last part of those signs. Second, we ask, where are we with regard to truth? When Moses led, you know, I think we always thought, we're just going to go along like this in life and it'll just be this good and all of a sudden the rapture will happen. Never preparing for something like we're in right now. Who knows what more will become as the beginning of sorrows. So where are we with regard to truth? When Moses led the children of Israel through the wilderness, his father-in-law came to see him. When he saw Moses busy judging all the people, he said to Moses, "It is too much for you. You need to assign some leaders to help you judge. They can judge the lighter cases, and you judge just the heavy cases." So Exodus 18, 19 through 21, listen to it. It says, "Listen now to my voice. I will give you counsel, and God will be with you. Stand before God for the people, so that you may bring the difficulties to God. And you shall teach them the statutes and the laws, and show them the way in which they must walk, and the work they must do. Moreover, you shall select from all the people able men, number one, such as fear God, number two, men of truth, number three, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of ten." So three things would qualify these men who would be leaders in judgment. First, they must fear God. The reason we are where we are today is because there is little fear of God inside the church. I'm talking in general. And much less outside the church. Second, truth is not an important issue today. You could go back 50 years and 100 years before that, where truth became an almost ultimate. It has almost disappeared. Third, there is a scramble for unjust gain. Those who judge righteously fear God and have a high regard for truth, and they hate unjust gain. Deuteronomy 32:4 says of God, "He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, a God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is he." In Isaiah's day, Israel had departed from God. And in Isaiah 59:14, Isaiah says, "Justice is turned back. Justice is turned back, and righteousness stands far off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter." With regard to truth, we are again at such a time. Truth has fallen in the streets. It has fallen in our homes, in our schools, in our streets, in our governments, and many times in our churches. In a message I did on truth and the emergent church in 2013, I said this under the point, "Postmodernism and Truth." Here I'm quoting, "That brings us to our present day and the view that is now sweeping through our schools, higher institutes of learning, and even the church. Pre-modernism said both general and special revelation were important for man's well-being. Truth must be gleaned from both realms." I'm shocked to hear what you said before, Wayne, Austria, or whichever country. "Reason had its place, and so did revelation. Then came modernism, and they said reason rules and divine revelation is obsolete. Man can discover all the truth he needs through empiricism, and man can control his own destiny. That's where we are today. He does not need God. This conclusion has led millions to a Christless eternity, including many men like Charles Darwin and their followers. But the worst was yet to come. When man had deserted that incredible source of truth available through special revelation, or the Word of God, he began to reject truth altogether, and postmodernism was born. One article I read said, postmodernism is the contemporary philosophical perspective that rejects revelation and reason, takes this process to an extreme conclusion by denying the validity of all comprehensive truth systems, or what is called meta-narratives. So what happened to man when he began to reject divine revelation and turned entirely to reason and the five senses, what happened to him? What happens when you exalt human reasoning above special revelation? Well, what happened is that the younger generation began to reject both spiritual and scientific truth, and we entered the postmodern era. And what do postmodernists believe regarding truth? Well, they believe that such a thing as absolute truth cannot be known. Chuck Missler says, postmodernism denies that absolute truth can be known, or even that it is desirable that it should be known. The process of learning or discovery is the important thing to postmodernity. The end point of this process should never be reached. You never come to truth. End of quote. The instruction Moses got was to choose men such as fear God, men of truth, and hating covetousness. I want you to look honestly at our governments. Where are we? Because we have failed to bring people to fear God, we now are rejecting scientific truth. I skipped the gender issue largely when it came up to being. I watched some of it this past week. It's horrible. It's horrible. Objective truth means nothing. Nothing. We are now rejecting scientific truth. We have rejected spiritual truth, and it leads to a rejection of scientific truth, which leads to full-fledged selfishness, covetousness. Where are we today on truth? We have moved so far on truth that we deny objective scientific truth. A missionary friend just told me that in Saskatchewan, a pastor is going to court for saying the Bible says there are only two genders. This is Canada. Today we are told that when a child is born, you do not know what gender they are. A man in BC was put in jail without bail for using feminine genders for his daughter. The courts have ordered that she will undergo hormonal change when she is 14. The courts! And the dad has a gag order. What do you do when you don't want the truth? You gag somebody who has it. And the dad is silenced. That's British Columbia, Canada. The Federalist Papers say, noted psychologist and author Jordan Peterson tweeted about the case repeatedly last Thursday, pointing out that he had predicted such an imprisonment was inevitable back when he took his stand against the pronoun laws in Canada's Bill C-16. You can go on YouTube and watch him say this 5 years ago. Today, it's true. They denied it back then. Today, it happened. Today, this man is in jail. The man of this daughter said, here's what he said. What kind of father would I be if, let's say, 5 to 10 years from now, my daughter is detransitioning and she turns to me and says, why did none of you do anything to stop this? I was a child. None of you stuck out your neck for me back then. You just let me do it because I was an immature kid thinking this was something great. He said this in an interview. When my daughter asks me that question, I'll say, I did everything I possibly could. But his wife disagrees with him. Division is happening in church and in homes because of such stuff. Whatever happens to me pales in comparison to what's already happened to my daughter. Jack Hibbs, pastor of Calvary Church, mega church in California, is dead serious when he says he expects to go to jail for persecution, for preaching. He has stood boldly, and his church has been open throughout the time of COVID. A guest columnist for One News Now said in an article February 9th, 21, called Mad Science and the Fight for Truth. When cultures no longer believe that truth is important or even attainable, they devolve into might makes right. Are we there today? Just send the police. That's what the church and anyone of a sound mind is facing now. With Biden, Harrison ensconced in the White House, we're being instructed to cheer the return of science as a guide to public policy. The return of science. I guess it wasn't there when Trump was there. But we ask, where is the science on masks? Where is it on shutdowns? I'm not trying to provoke anyone. I am asking for honest, objective thinking. Our Alberta government put a pastor in jail for violating the COVID restrictions. Whatever you may think about his actions, you know that the actions of the government are an injustice. He was put in solitary confinement for over a month when he had turned himself in. They have fenced his church in. They would not allow him to get out on bail. They didn't allow this dad out on bail either. Then they released him and dropped most of the charges. And we say, what do we make of this? Now he will go to court. And what did the judges of Alberta say? Listen to an article from April the 16th. The Justice Center today announced that the trial of Pastor James Coates of Grace Life Church will proceed on May 3rd, 2021 at Provincial Court in Stoney Plain. However, the court has granted the government's request that Pastor Coates not be permitted to challenge the constitutional validity of Dr. Dina Hinshaw's orders at the trial. The government will not be required to produce scientific evidence in support of Dr. Hinshaw's orders. Government lawyers told the court that the Alberta government could not produce any scientific evidence in support of Dr. Hinshaw's orders in time for the May 3rd trial. You can't get ready by then, but you have shut down the country already. And we are supposed to follow the science. Why would the court grant the Alberta government that they do not need to give scientific evidence for what they are doing? Why? If you had the evidence, would you not jump at the chance to nail this pastor with evidence? And what this says is that without scientific evidence, the government can shut down the province. I ask, this is my question, where is truth in all of this? Where is the science? Have we really returned to science? How can a nation say we are following the science when the same nation denies biology, DNA, and observable facts in gender? If the government denies truth in that which has not only evidence but full proof, how can they be trusted with that for which they cannot give scientific evidence? Could we ask, where is truth with regard to the vaccines? Should we not be able to ask this question? Listen to Bill Gates. I think this is a long time ago. The world today has 6.8 billion people. That's heading up to about 9 billion people. I heard him say this. Now, if we do a really great job on vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 to 15%. Bill Gates insists that he doesn't want to lower world population by causing death. He wants to do it by helping more children stay alive. Can we believe that? I'm asking, where is truth today? How does he figure this? Well, listen to him. In society after society, he saw when the mortality rate falls specifically below 10 deaths per 1,000 people, the birth rate follows and population growth stabilizes. It goes against common sense, Gates says. Most parents don't choose to have 8 children because they want to have big families, it turns out, but because they know many of their children will die. I ask you, where is truth? His wife says, if a mother and father know their child is going to live to adulthood, they start to naturally reduce their population size. Must a logical person not ask, what is the truth of the matter? Must we not ask, why does he want to reduce population? When God said, fill the earth and come to our province and you will see we're empty. If our government rejects truth in an area where science is so very obvious, the gender issue, how are we to trust anything in the more subjective areas where science cannot prove the claims of government? I have heard that there are now supposedly over 500 genders. And in Canada, you can be in trouble for saying the Bible says there's only two. May I ask you, where do our children get the idea they may not be the gender that all objective scientific evidence says they are? Where did they get that? Well, they get that from the same place they're supposed to be learning science. At school, children have to be told such things, or they would be ashamed if you call them a boy when they are a girl. Listen to Jeremiah 6:15 as he speaks to his nation at a time like this. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Is this gender thing abomination? Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No! They were not at all ashamed, nor did they know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall. At the time I punish them, they shall be cast down, says the Lord. We are now told you cannot know if a child is male or female at birth. And the truth about what biology so obviously tells us is given this twist. You may not be the gender you were assigned at birth. And here is my question. What is the subject of the verb assigned? There has to be a subject. Who assigned? But by this subtle twist of language, you can now reassign. Reassign. Where are we on truth? Isaiah says in 5:20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Would the Lord not say to us, woe to those who call a boy a girl and a girl a boy, a man a woman and a woman a man, if they claim otherwise? Woe to those who say it is good to abort babies and a woman has the right to do with her body as she wishes. Woe to them. Now I ask, does our government call evil good? Does it? Yes. They say if you are a biological woman and you feel you got the wrong body, and if you say you are a man, you are a man. It is not bad to call you a woman. It is good to call you a man. It is bad to call you a woman. It is good to call you a man. And if someone calls you a woman, they may now be charged by the law. A boy is called a girl a boy, a woman is called a man, and a man a woman. And then there is the Z's and the Z's and the They's. And it is evil to call them what they are. This is where we are on truth. We cannot stay here too long. Our government is there. Our schools are there. Many of you might know the singer John Lennon. Thankfully, I don't know much about him. Jack Hibbs quotes this song that Lennon wrote, 1971. That is 40 years ago. It goes like this. Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Aha, ah. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for, and no religion too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. You may say, I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will be as one. Today we're joining left, right, and center. Imagine no possessions. Have you heard this? You'll be happy having nothing? Imagine no possessions, I wonder if you can, no need for greed or hunger, a brotherhood of man. Imagine all the people sharing all the world, you. You may say, I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will live as one. We're almost there, almost there. We're scrambling as fast today as we can to get there. There's much talk about the Great Reset. Let me share a little bit of what Jack Hibbs said. He said we didn't make up the Great Reset, by the way. We didn't. Somebody else did. They did, he said. They will milk the COVID-19 thing as long as they can. They need it. If it dies, they will find another one. Then he said that the UN is talking about bringing the world together economically to press the Great Reset. He also said Boris Johnson is joining with 23 world leaders and calls for treaties to prepare for the next pandemic. Klaus Schwab of the World Economic Forum said, the pandemic represents a rare but narrow window of opportunity to reflect, reimagine, and reset our world. What will happen from all this? We do not know. If the pandemic dies down, what will come next? WorldNet Daily had an article the other day titled, CNN hosts climate change event after a leak of plan to sell climate fear. To sell climate fear. CNN, not surprising. The article said, CNN is hosting a live climate change town hall in the wake of a staffer disclosing in a hidden camera exchange with the Project Veritas that the network plans to pivot its focus from COVID-19 to climate change, noting fear sells. Moderated by CNN anchor Dana Bush, the climate crisis will air Friday night, featuring Biden climate envoy John Kerry, White House National Climate Advisor Gina McCarthy, Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Michael Reagan, and Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm. Project Veritas published conversations with CNN Technical Director Charles Chester, who said the network will start focusing mainly on climate. The focus over the past 4 years, he acknowledged, was to get Trump out of office. Jan Markell commented something like this, one of the troubling things is the conditioning that is going on. People don't even seem to know that they are being conditioned. Some of them are going like lemmings over a cliff. It concerns me. If we are right, the tribulation lies just before us. When it begins, the world has already been conditioned to accept the world leader. So if we are right, must we not be being conditioned right now? And then, Only 3.5 years later, the world will be ready to accept this dictator as God, capital G. If we are close to the tribulation right now, the conditioning has had to be going on now for some time already. Hibbs also said, because of what is being planned, some things stand in the way, and the U.S. Constitution is one of them, and it has to go. By the way, the church is one that stands in the way. The church has to go. It's clear. Then he said, we have to cancel faith in God and reappoint that faith to government. I just heard it yesterday. We need to trust our government. The cashless society is already here, end quote. Where are we on truth? We have rejected spiritual truth, and we are fast rejecting scientific truth. What can man do with man when truth is irrelevant? What can man do with man when truth is irrelevant? It's a scary thought. Last, I ask, where are we with regard to the spiritual world? What we know, if we believe the Bible, is that there is a battle going on in the unseen world. It is a spiritual battle, and we know who the opposing armies are, and we know where the battlefield is. On the one side is God Almighty and his army. These are God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, good angels, and saved mankind. On the other side is the devil, his host of fallen angels, and all unsaved mankind. We know that is true, but we need to be reminded. And where is the battlefield? Somebody tell me, where's the battlefield? Our minds. Our minds. You and I are part of the battlefield. Which side are we on? It is a battle for the mind. I probably cut a whole message out of this message. I didn't want to spend too much time here. But it is evident to me that we are rushing headlong into highly demonic times. Today, Satan is on the march as never before. Turn to Revelation chapter 12 for a moment. We'll begin in verse 12. We have come to the middle of the tribulation. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows he has a short time. If the Lord should come for the church soon, the time spoken of in that verse is 4 years or less away. At that time, Satan is removed from heaven. Today, he still has access to heaven, and no doubt he knows that his time is running short there as well, and he is working endlessly to destroy as much as he can. If we don't see ourselves in a time of an all-out demonic attack, we are not likely ready for it when it comes, in whatever way, shape, or form, and we're in it right now. One of the most important things in war is to know your enemy, but I say without hesitation, most of the church knows very little about the enemy. Oh yes, we know some things, yes. I hear time and again that Christians cannot be invaded by demons. I hear this time and again. I read it. I would venture to say this, that those who say such things have never personally worked with it, or they would know better. Furthermore, I have no doubt at all, those who are involved in this gender change have given heed to doctrines generated by demons. And almost, if not all, those have demons present in their lives. I am not afraid of being wrong. It is beyond question that many in our government are led by demons. It's beyond question. We must stop looking as if that isn't the case. I'm not being sensational. These are facts. Their information, many of them, comes from demons. This is reality. We need to realize we are in a real battle. Turn to 1 Timothy 4. Jack Hibbs, pastor from California, mentioned this passage and pointed out what I have been pondering for some time now. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Now these latter times have been going for quite some time. The thing Paul points out that has caused more sins in the Roman Catholic Church, I suppose, than any other teaching that they have held is forbidding priests to marry. And where did that doctrine come from? It certainly did not come from God. But all through the church age, this passage has held true. Verse 1 says, the Spirit speaks expressly. That is, he speaks in express words, and that is that some will depart from the faith. This will affect Christians as well. And what will cause this? They will give heed to deceiving spirits. And who are those? Well, those are demons. They will be listening to and believing the demons. There is no doubt that in schools all across our land, children are listening to deceiving spirits, and because of this, they want to undergo a gender change. There is no doubt that many, if not all, those who undergo a so-called gender change are also demonized. But notice that it says they give heed to doctrines of demons. That is not doctrines about demons. That is doctrines or teachings that come from demons. This needs a whole message. There are doctrines that have their source in demons in the church and multiplied many more outside the church. Our public schools are heaping up teachings that have their source in demons. For at least 100 years, the public schools of our land have slowly infiltrated the minds of students in various ways. Today, these teachings do not even need sheep's clothing. To a very large extent, these schools have been a place for Satan to slip in doctrines of demons. Men like John Dewey of the past and many others greatly helped to bring this to pass. And for many of us, we were largely unaware of what was going on. We flippantly say God is in control. God is in control of the universe, that is true, but he is not in control over the vast majority of mankind. He has ultimate authority over them, and he will ultimately judge them all, but he controls very few people. Even many Christians are not fully controlled by God. They are controlled only as far as they are filled with the Spirit and obedient to him. Turn to James chapter 3. It would be tedious. I would preach long on this stuff, but there is so much to say. James chapter 3, 13 through 16. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. Now, let me just ask you, in our governments, do you see any bitter envy and self-seeking? Then it says, this wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Our world is filled with bitter envy and self-seeking. I guess we saw it in the U.S. as plain as we have ever seen it anywhere. And those who are like that have something they hate bitterly. What is it? The truth. That's what this passage says. There is nothing that stands in the way of envy and self-seeking like the truth. In my reading, time and again, I came across the view that in order for the world to progress, the USA as we know it has to go. A question every student of prophecy must ask is this: why is the Bible so silent on the USA? And so we ask, what operates those filled with envy and self-seeking? There is a wisdom that operates it. And what kind of wisdom is it that operates it? It is a wisdom that is earthly, sensual, and demonic. It is earthly because it is not heavenly. It comes from the world. It comes from worldly wisdom. By the way, I believe I have plainly seen this operate in Bible schools. It is man's wisdom. Then it is sensual. The word translated sensual is literally soulish. It describes where in man it originates. It is not spiritual. It has its source in the central core of man, the soul. The senses and the mind are part of the soul. Here is described the wisdom of Adolf Hitler, Karl Marx, Lenin, Stalin, and a host of others. And here's the wisdom that runs most of the politics in Canada and the United States of America and many other countries. And last but not least, this wisdom is demonic. Now we are at the ultimate source. Who can make all these things work together for evil? Democracy, Black Lives Matter, open borders, Greta Thunberg, woke, 500 genders, our present pandemic, cancel culture, climate change, US election, Marxism, January the 6th. What do they all have in common? There is one source. And I ask, is our world filled with confusion? Tell me, is our world filled with confusion? Study COVID-19 on the internet. Study the new vaccines, not just from CBC. And what is the common denominator? Confusion. I believe the reason for that is that behind it all is one mind, the mind of Satan, and he brings about confusion. Confusion does not come from God. Do we believe there are two huge armies, God and Satan? Do we believe there is a demonic world and it is real and that it is right here? Listen to verse 16, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. I ask you, in all the things I listed, is there confusion? Is there evil of every description? Listen. No, don't do it. Just take my word for it. I cannot tell you how horrific some of these gender change things are. It's horrific. And our government wants to pay for it. Where is truth? Where is godliness? It's an amazing thing that a man who is not a Christian, Jordan Peterson, is one of the only men I heard speak out about the gender change thing. And all he did was go by observable facts. Jack Hibbs said that when a male wanted to be a female and vice versa, for decades or even centuries, it was called gender dysphoria. That means it was viewed as a kind of mental illness. That is what doctors called it. Now it has been changed to something positive. By whom? Politicians. And I ask you, why would the government want to pay for gender change? Why? It cannot be other than that it is demonically induced. There is no other answer for something so horrific. Where are we today? We're in the last days before the tribulation begins. These days are described in Matthew 24, 4 through 8. The things mentioned there are the beginnings of sorrows, like early birth pangs. That is what the word sorrows speaks of there. The church is lukewarm. The Lord is standing outside, desiring to enter. But as a church, most of the church says we don't need him. Now, we don't say that. We live like that. I'm speaking in general, of course. Where are we with regard to truth? By and large, we have rejected truth in the spiritual realm, and we are now rejecting truth in the realm of science, objective factual truth. We are what they call postmodern. My truth may not be your truth, and objective truth is impossible. Where are we with regard to the spiritual world? I see it as a time of great confusion. The world is being conditioned for a one-world government, and we are almost ready to welcome the Antichrist. But we do not despair. We have a blessed hope. The more we see happening, the better that hope looks. In the midst of sorrow, there is joy for those who find the Lord as their Savior and Master. It is not a time to weep. It is a time to lift up our heads. Jesus said in Luke 21:28 that when we see all these things begin to come to pass, lift up your heads. Can somebody tell me the rest? For your redemption draweth nigh. It's almost here. Our eyesight is so dim. We may be so saturated with the things of this world that we have a hard time to rejoice. But there is a joy for those who know their Master well. So we say, Maranatha, Maranatha, oh, come, Lord. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.